Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people
in it.
This episode 68 is being brought to you once again by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet.
Is now the time to insert the happy pet, healthy life? Pet, happy life?
We wish everyone a happy pet, healthy life.
Ooh.
No, I think we do that at the end. So where are our family of animal hospitals located? Can you enlighten the audience on the hospitals and where they are?
Northeast Metro Atlanta. Or you want me to be some more specific?
Could you list them out?
Absolutely. We have Russell Ridge Animal Hospital in Lawrenceville, Georgia, which is where we broadcast from, upstairs in
Studio B.
We have Hamilton Ridge Animal Hospital on Hamilton Mill Road in Buford.
It's actually Hamilton Mill Parkway and Ridge Road.
Yes. I never called it Hamilton Mill Parkway. I always thought it was Hamilton Mill Road.
No such thing.
Then we have Appalachie Ridge Animal Hospital on Auburn Road.
And Jim Moore. Yeah. So nothing to do with Ridge, but we just stuck with the theme.
Yep. So locally, other people, not ourselves, but other people refer to us as the Ridges.
Right.
And then we have a clinic in Johns Creek on Old Alabama Road. That is our Camden Village Animal Hospital location.
And it's Camden Village because I think that's the name of
the shopping center.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, thank you for clearing that up. So, yeah, once again, we're broadcasting from sunny, beautiful, really every afternoon stormy Lawrenceville,
Georgia. It's going to rain today. And we were looking at the forecast for next week. It's supposed to rain like all this week into like next Tuesday.
Just kind of the way it's been doing the last week or two, like pop-up thunderstorms in the afternoon, or?
I don't know. I mean, when you look at the forecast on the news or on your phone, all it shows is rain showers. So crazy. I'm certain that if you like open it up and you went by hour, there are some good hours and some bad hours, but it's just really nuts when you look at the forecast for a week and it's just rain clouds.
Yeah. Crazy. Like yesterday, there was very little sun. Before the sun, I went to the neighborhood pool and just kind of hung out for an hour. Just I wanted to see what it was like, how busy it was. And got a little sunburn because it was overcast and didn't realize how hot it was. But then, like, everything was cool and calm, and all of a sudden, a big gust of wind.
It was like a monsoon almost. Yeah.
Was that like it? 5 or 6 or so?
Yeah.
Six, I think.
So I live, probably 15 minutes away from you, I guess. And so we had super heavy winds, and then it rained, like, massive amounts for a very short period of time, and then it was done.
Yeah, downpour. So, okay, moving on. Exciting news. If we had taped the podcast tomorrow,
yes,
we would have had her on our podcast, but we will... We'll do it moving.
We'll just interview her.
We'll interview her tomorrow.
We'll make that part of her orientation.
Yeah, we'll orient her. Yeah, this is what we do. This is what you have to do. And yeah, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Ashley Settles is joining us, the GVA group, and super happy to have her rejoin the group. She actually worked here while going through vet school as a technician. And then did a little bit of somewhat relief work after she got out of school. And then, she decided to go work for the circus.
I was going to say join the circus because a lot of people say that as a funny thing. But then Ashley Settles joined the circus.
So, so we're super excited to have her join the group.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go ahead and just kind of plug in. Here's what I don't know if she's going to be preferred to be called Dr. Settles or Dr. Ashley. We typically, historically, it's Dr. last name. Some people like to really chum it up and say, it's Dr. Brad and Dr. Mike and Dr. Ted and Dr. But we like to typically
There's a bit of a line of professionalism.
Yeah. And so here is our short or long, I don't know, because we haven't had it yet, our interview with Dr. Settles. All right. So, as promised, interview with Dr. Ashley Settles. Welcome.
Thank you.
She's super excited to be here at Studio B, where the podcast is done. If we could only show the audience the look on her face. But welcome. Most importantly, welcome to GBA, to our group as an associate.
Thank you.
I guess so that people kind of know a little bit of the history, fill us in on how you came to know me and the practice and kind of what you've been doing.
Well, that's quite a story. I started working for GVA when it wasn't GVA. When I was a technician, I worked for Dr. Miller, and he helped me get into vet school. And now that I'm a veterinarian, I have done many things in my short career. I have done equine only. I've worked for Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus doing all sorts of animals. And now I've come back where it all started, to GVA, doing doing small animal with Dr. Miller again. So it's great to be back.
So you graduated, we were talking earlier today, 2011, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And then they basically shut all circuses down. Is that a fair statement? Is that...
They didn't shut them all down. Ringling decided to close for various reasons. But it just ended up, there was a revenue issue with keeping it open and ticket sales and things like that. So,
and you traveled right during that time, Southeast only, or
No, I traveled the country and even to Mexico. We went to Mexico once a year to perform, and I went with them there. So yeah, all over the country.
Very cool. What's one or two of the coolest things you saw or did associated with the circus?
That's tough. There was a lot of...
There were a lot of them,
huh? There was a lot of them, yeah.
Did you ever have to palpate an elephant?
I did. I have video evidence of that. But I guess the coolest thing I did from a medical standpoint would be all of the great people I worked with. The circus has a lot of great people, and I also got to work with a lot of specialists, ZooMed specialists, internal medicine, surgeons, and I just got to meet a lot of great people in my travels, and that was honestly one of the highlights of my time with them.
Cool.
So I think it's a bit of a misconception that those animals aren't necessarily well cared for, but you can attest differently.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. They received better care than some of the people on the show. They were well fed. They got human grade quality food, and the obviously excellent veterinary care, because there were several staff veterinarians as well as consulting veterinarians that worked for the circus.
Yeah. That's cool. I'm putting words in your mouth, but I knew you really were excited when you were doing that and happy to do that. We tried to snag you way back then to work here, and you're like, no, I've got this other opportunity. And I'm like, dang. But
which you could poke fun at, right? Like, you joined the circus.
I ran off and joined the circus. Yeah, my parents loved telling people that. Well, my daughter ran off and joined the circus. The funny thing is, knowing what I do, family members would still say, oh, so what does she do for them? My mom's like, she's a trapeze artist. What do you think she does for them?
Wow.
Yeah.
Family. That's so funny. That's a whole nother.
Yeah. Family and vet med definitely do not mix.
Yeah. So, okay. Other than that, as a special interest, anything in small animal medicine that you have a special interest in?
Well, I am certified in animal chiropractic, both large animal and small animal, and I love being able to use that as part of my repertoire to help my patients. It's been a great addition to my repertoire in the medical side of things. And so that's definitely an interest of mine. And I love following cases and hearing client feedback from that. But I also love diagnostics. So imaging, I'm super excited to see the CT that they have here at Russell. And I like ultrasound and of course, x-ray. So I love imaging.
Cool. All right, now let's move into the segment we like to call Would You Rather. You're familiar with the concept?
No.
Okay. Well.
But I'm sure I'm about to learn.
All right. So you've already, some of these are obvious. Would you rather be at or see a Cirque show or the circus?
Would you rather be at?
Like a Cirque du Soleil show, or would you rather be at the circus?
Oh.
And your answer would be?
The circus.
The circus, obviously. Right? That's where I worked. And so, would you rather go to a dog show or a horse show?
Horse show.
Okay. Have you ever been to a dog show?
In person? No. I've watched them on TV.
Yeah. Angel?
Nope. Only a cat show.
A cat show?
Was that,
yes,
in your opinion, similar to, weirder?
It was an experience, I'll tell you. Yeah. It was actually here in Gwinnett County. So it was very interesting.
Were they well-trained cats?
They are mostly, you know, caged or kenneled or whatever, okay, but like the people decorate them.
Oh.
Extravagantly,
the cages and the animals.
The cages, I mean, mostly.
It's like this
big
theme, kind of a thing.
Yeah, I mean the cats are pretty well behaved because, you know, they carry them around, like, mm-hmm, they carry them from their kennel up to the show at the stage, and the stage is very extravagantly decorated as well. It was very, very interesting. I've never been to a dog show. I don't know if it would be quite as entertaining.
What the movie was? It just called Dog Show. What was the movie about the dog show with the two announcers and?
You lost me. I have no idea.
Wow. Okay, I'll look that
you
up.
You might have made that up.
No. Dog show with two announcers.
No, there
that's
was a movie that came
also
out like 10 years ago, and I can't remember the two guys who were the announcers, but the movie was hilarious. It was about the dog show circuit.
Oh, like a parody?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, I'll look that up for next time. So, okay, off topic, do you prefer to be called Dr. Ashley or Dr. Settles?
Ashley.
No, doctor. You're dropping doctor altogether.
I don't think Dr. Miller's going to allow that.
So
no.
Dr. Ashley.
Okay.
Dang. I guess Dr. Settles. Okay.
I'm a very informal person.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're good with that. I just missed that one. Back to the would you rather. Vacation at the beach or the mountains?
Beach.
Kevin the same way?
No.
Okay.
He hates opposite the beach. But I grew
divided
up at the beach. So.
Okay. I would guess that. If you could only have one pet, and it was a dog or a cat, not a horse, what would it be as your companion, as your soulmate?
Dog.
Okay. How many pets do you have now?
TNTC. We have 3 horses, 6 goats, 5 geese, 4 dogs, and 2 cats.
Horses are considered pets. They're just pleasure horses.
My goats are considered pets, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Would you rather curl up with a good book or a good movie?
Book.
I don't know if you can curl up with it. I guess you can.
Yeah,
you can.
This whole like Netflix and chill, which totally means something different. But like, yes, you can curl up and watch TV.
My brother informed me. So the last question I have. So Angel, think if you're going to be put on the spot in a minute. Think if you have anything else. But as a doctor Ashley, would you rather express infected anal glands or clean out a Pseudomonas infected ear?
Oh, the ear. All day long.
Yeah, that's one of the nastiest. Those are both nasty to me. But the soupy, not mildew. How do you describe that odor with that Pseudomonas
fish
green, just nasty ear? I don't like that because I can like double glove and I can still, it's still, the odor goes through 2 sets of gloves and I can smell it on my hands for days.
But I can stand that odor way better than anal glands.
Sour, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Angel, anything to add?
No, the only thing we really ever ask all of our associate vets on the show are, if you weren't a veterinarian, what would you do?
Yeah. I have no idea. I guess I'd probably train horses.
Yeah, so still the animal industry.
Horses. Yeah, oh yeah.
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 It's funny, what did we get, like, a traveling photographer? We've heard some really interesting, like, if I weren't a veterinarian, I would be X.
Yeah.
So, super interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, once again, welcome, and thank you for joining the podcast, and we look forward to having you back on the show in the near future.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Ashley, Dr. Settles. I'm going to bet that you prefer and preferred to be called Dr. Settles, but could be wrong.
Well, this is, we have some influence on that, right?
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true. Good point. So, again, super happy for you to be joining our group, and just looking forward to, you know, to what the future holds for all of us. So, local news.
Yeah.
So, let's talk COVID first.
Okay.
Georgia cases rising like every other state in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Not known as an epicenter like Arizona, Texas, and Florida.
So interesting, because a lot of people thought that it would die down with the heat. And it's not really the case.
That it would kill the virus. Mm-hmm. Quote unquote, the virus.
Yes.
The Chinese virus, as Dr. or not Dr. Good gosh. As Donald Trump would say. yeah, so definitely not slowing down at all. I think the more relaxed people get, the more cases we're going to see, the more testing we have, the more cases we're going to see. You cannot, in my opinion, protect or isolate or pay your way out of this. A lot of people are going to get exposed.
Sure.
And so it's a viral disease. And yeah, interesting thing, in Georgia, we are having about 1,000 cases a day, new cases a day.
Right.
And now we're not even talking about death rates or hospitalization rates.
Not
now
yet.
It's just case numbers.
Yeah. So,
and so interesting.
I find it interesting as well. So again, I have 2 points, I guess. So I think when originally we first started talking about coronavirus everywhere, it was almost like corona equals death.
Yeah.
And so that's because we used to talk about the death rate so much and like how many people are going to die from this,
but
and all that.
But it's not even in the news anymore.
So, but also when you have new cases, deaths follow. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, you've got corona today and you're dead today. If there are going to be deaths, we will hear about them in weeks
in
to come.
In the next week or two.
Yeah.
With the high rate of cases. So I guess my point, Georgia's having around 1,000 a day. Florida's around 5,000 a day.
Actually, new reports are about 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're blaming the beaches and nightlife. And so I think new restrictions on restaurants and bars in Florida. Texas completely shut down bars and restaurants.
Again.
Bars, I know, I read this morning, completely shut down, curbside only. Restaurants are back to the limiting 50 people, I think, in at a time.
So I don't know how true it is, but I heard that Florida is going to be closing some of their beaches. I think Miami Beach is closed due to the high number of cases, and they're also going to ban alcohol sales. And I find that super interesting.
Yeah.
And I think I can only imagine the thought with that is to eliminate tourism for the holiday that's coming up this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. So crazy. Just, you know, we've talked internally a week, 10 days, 14 days ago. We're sick of this. We're done. We're thinking we're in the clear.
Right.
We no longer have two separate teams at Russell Ridge. We're still being very respectful of social distancing and what we do outside of work, but a little bit more relaxed. And just when you think everything's great, all of a sudden case numbers spike. I think maybe we talked last week that we had a staff member who had a friend who actually passed due mm-hmm. to coronavirus. So that kind of hit close to home. And then also we officially have, you know, one staff member who has tested positive.
Right.
So
not here in our Russell Ridge location.
Right, not here, and no fallout effect as of yet, but we're kind of trace contacting backwards, and we're being very precautious about what we do currently and moving forward. So,
of course.
Anyway, we always say, you know, we're sick of talking about COVID-19. We're not going to talk about it, but it's...
So, but if we can real quick, that staff member is doing well.
Yeah.
Has most of her symptoms have resolved. She has a bit of a cough, but on a day-to-day when we check in with her, she says she feels okay.
Yeah. So that's what we hope most of these positive cases look like, that have some symptoms but nothing severe, don't have to be hospitalized, and certainly are still with us moving forward. So,
right.
New pups in the practice, new cats, new kittens in the practice. That continues to be a real thing as well.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
I came in yesterday and worked on a case, which was a Greater Swiss Mountain Dog, and super sweet dog until we tried to restrain or do anything with him.
How old was this dog?
How old was he? I think he's 14 to 16 weeks old. 45 pounds. And he had a catheter placed. We pre-medded him. We started inducing anesthesia. And I was holding him. And the technician started pushing propofol. He started screaming. And I'm like, what is going on? And she's like, nothing's going on. I'm like, okay, is the catheter good? We look, we double check. Yes, the catheter's good. We start pushing a little more. He just starts wailing. And I'm like, oh my God. He just doesn't know what's going on. And so we talk about the lack of training, the lack of obedience, the increased humanization of pets, which seems like a great idea at the time, but
it makes them kind of an okay housemate, but it makes them a terrible patient.
Unless you're their cohabitant, brother, sister, mom, dad. Oh gosh, there's no restrictions on what they can and can't do. And yes, we really struggle with, we're really trying to help you. You have to let us, you know, draw blood. You have to be still. You have to. They don't understand. And the fallout effect of this is going to be for 10 years.
Oh, for sure. I told you like months ago, this was my fear, right? That we would, and still like, I'm not saying I was 100% right, because we still haven't seen these dogs back 1 year later, 2 years later. But the thought is that these dogs are not going to be very well-behaved patients.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have seen them on routine schedules for their puppy series, but they've not socialized at all outside of that.
Right. With other pets or other people.
Right.
And so it's going to be the new norm. It's going to be what we've experienced for the last 10 years with rescued pets who are completely unsocialized because they were in a foster home or in a shelter. They were completely non-socialized. We're going to see the same thing, my prediction is, but probably going to be a little bit worse because they've been so humanized, these new pets, which we love and adore, that I don't know, they're going to be expected to be treated like humans, but they're not. So anyway, just that kind of hit close to home this week with me.
So you saw it for the first time.
Well, I mean, I've been slowly seeing it, but it was like in my face yesterday.
Yeah.
So word of the week. Go ahead, say it.
You're going to make fun of the way I say it, just like you made fun of the way I said emesis.
So say it.
Urolithiasis.
I thought you were going to say urolithiasis. Yes, urolithiasis. Break it down. What's it mean?
Uro.
Meaning?
Urology.
Yep. Urine, urinary system, urology. Lith.
I don't really know how to explain that. Is it like a composite?
Monolith.
One lith? One stone?
stone.
So, stone. But concrete, when I say stone. Composite, that's what I meant. Like stone compound, I guess.
Yeah, lithograph. I mean, yes. So, lith, in my opinion, means stone, usually.
Uh-huh.
And then, iasis is kind of like osis.
Okay. Just tell me.
Process or disease process or condition or syndrome. So, urinary stone syndrome, let's say.
Okay.
So.
Nothing in there says bladder.
No. How many bladders do you have in your body?
Two, as far as I know.
And they are?
Gallbladder and urinary bladder.
Yeah, so it was hammered home in vet school that you don't just say bladder. Like, which bladder?
Yeah.
Urinary bladder or gallbladder?
I was taught very similar in tech school, but I definitely, like, coming out and being in practice, whenever you say bladder, most people assume urinary bladder.
So, same thing, diabetes. It's either diabetes mellitus or diabetes insipidus. So, we'll talk about that later. But
I thought it was diabetes.
Diabetes is what they say around these parts. Urolithiasis, and the reason that's the word of the week is because we continue to see many, many patients with these weird, small, usually bladder stones or urethral stones, so, but they're in the urinary tract.
That's where I was going to go, because it doesn't say bladder. It doesn't have to be in the bladder, exactly. Which is what causes or what is complicated to us. Yes. When we go in and retrieve or have a surgical procedure.
We'll see stones stacked in behind the os penis of a dog.
Male dogs.
Which male dogs have a bone in their penis, and it's kind of a U-shaped channel. The urethra runs through the center of the U, but some of these stones get stuck behind the os penis because they're too big to pass. And so they're very difficult to relieve and get pushed back into the bladder, and then we have to go remove them. And then at the end of surgery, we have to make sure we didn't leave any down in the neck of the bladder or any stones went back in the urethra. So bladder stones, I feel like I've preached this for the last 2 or 3 years to everybody in the clinic. They are not the way they used to be. It used to be that we would take out golf ball size,
like river rocks,
struvite stones out of the bladder, one or multiples. They would have been there so long that they weren't round. They had flat edges where they were rubbing against each other.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays we're dealing with these tiny stones. Often they're calcium oxalate, they're urate, sometimes still they're struvite. But it's really completely different than the way it used to be even 5 years ago, because now we're doing a CT scan before to see where and how many, and we are using scopes in the bladder and the urethra to visualize during surgery. We're passing catheters, retrograde, normograde. We're trying to make sure everything is out. And then at the end of surgery, we're doing another CT to make sure we got them all.
I was going to ask you, do you feel like... So diet always plays a big role in that, right? But I was going to suggest, like, do you think that we're just catching these things much sooner? If we had let them go, do you think they would be those big river rock type, just to kind of sit in the urinary bladder?
I think the diet plays a big role. Dog food manufacturers mm-hmm. knew and know what causes struvite stones, which is kind of a high pH
mm-hmm.
And high mineral content. And so one of the big things... quote-unquote, they did years ago is they started lowering the pH
mm-hmm.
and they've lowered it too much, which causes calcium oxalate stones to be formed. And so I think it's kind of a different breed of stone, if you will. They're forming, they're smaller, they don't grow as rapidly as the struvite.
Mm-hmm.
And because honestly, the first 10-15 years out of vet school as a practicing veterinarian, I don't recall ever finding a urethral stone.
Yeah.
But the last 10 years, more than half, they're in the urethra.
For sure.
So I do think it's dog food, and the food manufacturers have tried to correct a problem, and they've overcorrected, and they're causing these other problems.
So do you feel the same way in cats, right? So we've always seen like male blocked cats, and pretty much their stones are, they haven't changed as much. It's really just the dogs yeah. that we're seeing all these changes with, yeah?
It seems that way, yeah, because definitely the cat food industry has done the same thing, but we do not see as many stones in cats. So yeah, it's weird. It's weird. So, okay, just a couple of stories that I pulled, and I think we can be done. There was one news story about a veterinarian in Montana whose personal dog went for a run walk through the woods and came back and fell ill and died very quickly after that romp through the woods. And after some investigation, several other people in the area, I don't know if they were clients or just, you know, lay people, but they reported similar incidents.
And I feel like I heard about this story.
I didn't. I just read this, I think, yesterday. But they have autopsies or necropsies pending. I would guarantee that somebody in the area is laying out some poison bait for the dogs to partake in.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's strychnine or something else, I don't know. But,
right.
That'll be something for us to maybe to kind of follow up on. Where and when do you think you heard about this?
I feel like I read something about this either in a Facebook group or on like a Facebook ad, or I don't know, possibly some other channels. I mean, there's so much information coming at me every day. I couldn't really tell you, but I feel like I read this because I feel like what I heard was that suddenly someone who worked in a practice, their dog fell ill. And then when they were asking colleagues about it, they were saying that others at the emergency clinic or people who had worked at local emergency hospitals had reported the same thing in other pets. Huh. So the true thought was that someone was baiting these dogs and poisoning them in this public park area.
That's the way it reads to me, whether it's ethylene glycol or strychnine or who knows what.
But yeah.
I think that's just too coincidental. I don't think it's, you know, unless it's blue-green algae, which we talked about. Actually, that may be coming up this next month.
Yeah.
So we talked about it last July. So weird. Fireworks season is upon us. 4th of July is this Saturday. My Hannah is very excited about that. We're going to try to take her to go see the fireworks, although many of the shows have been canceled around here.
I don't really know anything about it, honestly. The only time I've ever really seen a show is over at Chateau Elan. But I don't know if they're having them or not. I do feel like Sterling on the Lake will be having a display because I think they've done that before.
Lake Lanier canceled. I don't know if Stone Mountain has or not, but we're just going to go to Buford Mall of Georgia, I think, kind of hang out and get a couple of chairs in the back of the truck and do the Georgia thing, you know, watch the sky. So,
funny.
But there was a story on the AVMA Smart Brief about, you know, how to keep your dogs safe and secure during fireworks season. We've talked about this, I think, as recently as last week. But, you know, there are drugs. Give your dog a safe place to hide. Try to not shoot fireworks off, in your own backyard. Thunder shirts, all these things, but it's just kind of crazy to me that these sources of information for our industry continue to bring up these topics. And like, if you've heard them for 2, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, I guess there's people that haven't. So
that's everything, right? We've talked about that in the practice before. I think sometimes those of us that hear so much, same thing goes with like vaccines and the importance of annual blood work and all that stuff. Like, we know how important it is, but the person on the other side of the table, or on this instance, on the other side of the video or the other side of the phone, it may be the first time that they're ever hearing that. And so we always have to keep that into perspective. And possibly even on our podcast, people might get tired of hearing it, but maybe they didn't listen to the episode in May or last July or
that's a good point.
January 1st when we talked about it
If you're in teacher mode, right, and you teach the same class, whether it's every year or twice a year, every semester,
right,
you just have to keep pushing that information out. And I definitely am guilty of just thinking, this is ridiculous. I know this. I've heard this. You know, let's bring up something more interesting. But these educators, no matter where they're educating or what their platform is, are very important. So the last story I brought up was basically that the GVMA, I think their summer, I don't even see it on my list here, but I guess I failed to get it on our playlist here. But the I think the summer GVMA meeting is still a go. The Emerald Coast meeting, Georgia, Alabama, is still a go. Some conferences are canceling. Some are continuing. It's still just a very fluid kind of a thing. And so
you think that East Coast or Emerald Coast will still go with all of the elevated cases in Florida?
I don't know. They pushed it to August, and so that's a long time away.
Yeah.
So
I don't want people to pull the plug, but I also don't want things to happen, you know, haphazardly.
Unnecessarily. And just rushing things. So. Yeah. Well, I think you can look at a lot of the states. Fortunately in Georgia, even though our cases our positives are rising, we're still recommending masks and social distancing. But our governor has not completely shut us down again. The governor of Texas, you know, has.
Right.
I think Governor DeSantis in Florida is kind of back down as well. We were talking about that earlier. But every day is a new day. Every day is a new day.
Yeah. And so as much as we want to be done with it, obviously we will continue taking it in stride.
Yeah.
So.
All right, cool. Well, sign us out if you don't mind, and then I will plug in Asher's
Sure.
Secondary tagline when you're done.
Be sure to check in next week, guys, as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. Follow all of our clinics on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And then check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Listen to our podcast online. Hello, you can read our podcast transcript online at our website. And please, wherever you're listening to this podcast, do hit subscribe. And remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
And a healthy pet equals a happy life.
In it, damn.
This episode 68 is being brought to you once again by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet.
Is now the time to insert the happy pet, healthy life, healthy pet.